This is People Doing Good for Others. Since 1998, with over 700 shows, People Doing Good for Others has highlighted the people and organizations whose talent, determination, and dedication make a difference in the lives of others, both here at home and throughout the country. Our goal is to continue to showcase those among us who encourage and inspire us every day. And now, the host of People Doing Good for Others, Gary York.
Good morning, friends in the Yadkin Valley. I'm Gary York, and I'm grateful to have this opportunity for the outreach of WIFM, People Doing Good for Others, as we celebrate, highlight, and hold in the light those who truly make significant contributions in our communities. And my featured guest today is John Reese. He's a professional musician. He grew up in Mount Airy and graduated from Guilford College, and has just followed the dream of being a musician and writing and going to Nashville. So, John Reese, what an honor to have you in the studios of WIFM.
WIFM, I owe you a big thanks, Gary. It's great to see you all today. I love your station, love being here.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. We've been talking about this moment for a long time. What do you do today?
Today,
professionally as a musician?
Well, now today I'm like a farmer. You have to milk those cows early. So I was up about quite early this morning, about 4:30 in the morning, writing a music chart for something I've got to do on Sunday. So actually a week from Sunday. So I like to do it a little bit ahead of time so I know I've got it. So that's what I did early in the morning. I had about a half a cup of coffee, then sat down, and here we go. Let's start working. So,
really?
Yes, that was what today held.
Wow. Well, let's go back to growing up in Mount Airy, mm-hmm. and your dad in the clothing business, and your mother just a wonderful supporter of family, ladies staying home, mom. So tell us about this first indication that music might be a way for you.
Music was a big part of our early life, and I think in this community, music's a big part of our community, too. So we have a lot of we hear a lot of music in Mount Airy, whether it's in the schools or in the church or on the radio. So I knew early on that music affected me in a way, emotional way. I liked what it did. I liked how it made me feel. Plus, it's such a great way to reach people. So as I got older and started thinking about what I wanted to do for a living, I said, well, you know, I didn't know you could be a professional musician. I was probably 10 or 11 years old before I figured that out. There's actually people that make a living doing this. I said, oh my goodness, if that's the case, how do you start? So it took a while, you know, to get my act together, you might say. But once I sort of knew how to do things, I just started along that path. And my folks,
did you have some lessons?
Mrs. Robertson, Mildred Robertson, was a big help to me. As far as the piano goes, I started with her, I think, when I was maybe around 8 or something like that. Great lady. I think you knew her well as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. My sister Ann took from her, too.
Yeah, well, she taught a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I actually had started on guitar with Woody Wood out at WPAQ a year or two before that, and then switched to piano, and Miss Robertson kind of got me going. But I play by ear, so most of what she was kind of directing me for, I get good work habits as far as piano goes. So that was probably her biggest role for me, was, you know, your how you sit at the piano, how you play the keys, just the things like that that you need to be taught. But from there,
now by ear, John, share that just a little bit more. Get a little deeper into playing by ear.
Well, like for instance, what I did this morning was listening to a song, and I call it cracking the nut. I have to hear that song and be able to hear what the chord changes are, so I can write it down, so I'll know by the numbers that we use a natural number system to tell me what chord I'm playing. So I'll know when I go to do this job, here's how the song goes. So you basically are using your ear to get the tone, you know, the chord tone that the person's playing. And this morning was actually a pretty rough one. I had to really work on these songs. They were kind of rough. But once you get it, I call it cracking the nut. Now we're good to go.
Okay.
So
means you do not read any music on paper.
No, I went to music school, but I can't sight read at all. No, I'm not a reader. I wish I were. I think for anybody starting off now, I'd tell them, don't make my mistakes, because I could do it by ear, and it was a little bit easier, really, than doing by the book. But I think really, if you're starting off, you need to learn to read and read good, because that's going to get you a lot of work. So, you know, you're limited if you can, even if you got the best ears there are. But that's just how I learned.
Guilford College, you said you had some good training there.
Oh, yeah. Guilford was great. I went there as a history major because my father and I were discussing whether music would be an option. He said, well, don't be, you know, go in and study something else. And I chose history, but I also double majored in music theory and composition. And there was a consortium at the time between the three colleges, Guilford College, Greensboro College, and UNCG. So we had a real good, well-rounded musical education. And I was just like a sponge taking it in because I didn't know any of this stuff. And it these folks back in the 1600s and so really had thought through music theory. And that's important stuff to know. So it was just the greatest time of ever. I mean, I loved my music education.
And so you were spent a couple of years in D.C. and a couple of years in Greensboro as mm-hmm. a professional. Started?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I started. Well, I was professional way before that. I started maybe in the ninth grade or so. Playing for money. The first job was in Galax, Virginia, at a place called Red's Roller Rink. There may be somebody listening to your show other than me who remembers that place. But we played there with a guy named Don Estes, who was a great friend and guy from Mount Airy. And we had a band that they were in, invited me. So we went up there, and they packed them in. It was packed out.
Yeah.
That was the first job I ever did and sort of went on from there.
So now, were you a keyboard player? Is that the way?
I was a keyboard player, yeah. At the time, I played electric piano in that particular vintage, and then I moved on to organ, just sort of went with the musical style. But, yeah, the keyboard instruments are what I do professionally, yes.
Okay. All right, let's go to Nashville and how that happened. Will you do that for me?
Okay. Well, I was working with a group called The Occasions. We had gone to Washington with a rhythm section, which is bass, drums, and organ. That's what we had. And we would get hired out to back up whoever might be coming to town. We worked with the Platters a lot, Johnny Tillotts, and just different ones who'd be coming around the D.C. area. They would have us as the band to back them up. Well, The Occasions were coming through town, and we knew one of The Occasions, and Jim Lowry, a fellow from Mount Airy.
Yeah, sure.
And Jimmy came to where we were playing and said, hey, keep you guys in mind. And his rhythm section left and moved to Nashville to join Ronnie Millsap at this time.
Oh, my goodness.
So Jimmy said, man, I need somebody. Can y'all come help us do this? So we did. We relocated to Greensboro, worked with The Occasions. Well, we were in Atlanta, Georgia, and we got paid, I think, $125 a week is what we were making, something like that. I said, Jimmy, can I get my money? I want to go to Nashville. He dropped me at the airport. I think I got an airplane ticket for about $99 and had about $10 left to spend, and I walked the streets of Nashville, went to every publisher out there, and it was just an eye-opening experience. So that sort of got me started. I met a publisher out there and said, well, your songs aren't too bad, and you can play piano pretty good, so if you ever come out here, I'll get you some work. And she did. It was a lady named Jean Zimmerman. She's passed on.
Really? But
yes, that's how it happened. Not that it was easy. You know, I knocked on every door out there, and I was actually sitting on the front.
That Music Row that we see on the
That was Music
Ken
Row,
Ken Burns,
yeah.
Is that part of it?
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of it. so you just knock on the doors and see if anybody's got time to listen to what you've got. That's how I
really?
Did it, and that's how it's done. Yep.
All right. We talked about I'm going to fast forward a little bit, and I heard the word once, a side man, and you explained to me, what is a side man?
Well, that's a good question. You've got the artist out front, the singer, and that's who people came to see. Then you've got the people behind that artist, the support crew that's making them sound good. That's the side men. That's what they do. They're working people. So they are... They're hired to learn this person's music and do it like the record if that's what they want, and to be dependable. It's just a big security blanket for the whole show, that the show will go like it's supposed to. So, and you know, you get paid to do that kind of work. It's demanding, professionally demanding, but it's good, and I think it's just what I did.
So at this time, early on, did we get an agent or join a union, or how does that work?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I moved to Nashville, the band leader didn't ask me my opinion. He just said, go down to the union tomorrow and join. That was it. And I said, well, I don't want to join any unions. We don't have unions so much here in North Carolina. But I said, I don't know about this. But I went in, and it is required if you're going to play on television or if you're going to play in the recording studio or radio. The unions control those that work. So that's what you do. And I've been in it. I'm still in it today. I'm a lifetime member now. I got a little pin that said, "You've been here 35 or 40 years," something
really?
Like that. Got a big kick out of that, yeah. Wow. But it's a good thing, and certainly it's good because you got someone who can negotiate. When you're dealing with a great big company, I think it helps to have someone help you with the.
So Donna Fargo was instrumental in helping you, I guess.
I think,
is that a good way to
I would
say
be
it?
Remiss not to say the happiest girl in the whole USA was. It made me the happiest boy in the whole USA by allowing me to work with her. A very gracious person, a great songwriter. We used to call Donna the goose who laid the golden egg because of her song that just made the number one across the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, Donna, I think, is if there's going to be a Hall of Fame in country music, she should be in it.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Is her health, she doing pretty well today?
Donna Fargo is a pretty tough lady.
Okay.
Now she's had some setbacks. I mean, just like life happens. But I think I can safely say she's a fighter. And she's hanging in there. She's able to do her work, which is important to her because Donna's a worker. I'll tell a story on Donna. One time we were in Indianapolis doing a rehearsal in a motel, like a little convention thing for a hotel. And Donna had to go back to the room. Well, we're in there rehearsing, so she's going to walk back by herself. Some guy had mugged her in the hallway going back to her room. Well, Donna beat that fella about to death. He would never bother her again. If Donna's listening, I'm sorry for telling on you, Donna. But anyway, she's a tough lady.
Yeah.
So I'll put my money on Donna Fargo any day of the week.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about today.
Okay.
You are helping a group out at Chestnut Ridge Church.
Oh, yeah. Well,
tell
I'm a
us
professional
about that.
Musician. In about 1964, I worked with a group called Eddie Boy and the Royal Charmers. And I think we were the best band to ever come out of Surrey County. So any folks listening, that's my vote. But the singers in that group, Eddie Boy and the Royal Charmers, went to Chestnut Ridge Church. This is in about 64. Well, flash forward about 60 years, that church calls me and said, "Would you come help us play piano?" And I said, "Well, if you got any more singers like Eddie Boy, I'll be there." So I've been playing with them for 3 or 4 years now. It's a wonderful church. It's an African-American church.
Yeah, yeah.
So I probably stick out a little bit in that regard. But musically, I don't think the Lord pays much attention. I know I don't. If the music's good, I'm glad to be there.
And they have a real active choir?
Oh, yeah. They've got the best choir in Surrey County, in my opinion.
Do they really?
They
play every Sunday you're there?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I'll be rehearsing with them tonight. But yeah, they've got a like a lot of church choirs, you know, kind of go up and down. But they're consistently good. And right now, for instance, as a choir, I've got probably 5 or 6, I would call them world-class lead singers, which is very unusual in a choir. Usually you got maybe
Chestnut Ridge Church right now.
Killer singers, yeah. Yeah, I've got some great singers in that choir.
So. Are you the director of the choir?
No, I just play piano. I'm following them.
Piano.
Half the time, or many times, I don't really know what they're getting ready to do. They just start doing it. And I have to use my ears and you know, follow along.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a very common occurrence there, yeah.
Wow.
That's playing by ear there.
Playing by ear.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is. When they start, you just fall right in.
That's the game plan.
Wow. How about that? If you were playing, say, a classification of music, and it would be your favorite, what would it – just tell us a little bit about the – what John Reese, if you just played in your last hour or something, would you play?
That's a great question. Really, Gary, I love just about all the music I hear. I mean, it's just, I rarely hear something I don't like. I think it's all got merit. I'm probably better at some than the other. I think when it comes to playing, I can play most styles, you know, ear-type playing, just most styles okay. Now, when it comes to singing, that's not the case. I have got a very narrow ability. When it comes to singing, I have to do like folk type music, which doesn't have any kind of range. You know, you just kind of get it out there as best you can. So that sort of pushes me into that category just because I'm limited vocally. I just do the one thing I can do, which is kind of a folky style. But as far as the stuff I like listening to, I like it all. If I could read music, I'd be playing Bela Bartok right now because I love that. I love classical music. I just can't, you know, I can't really read it good enough to play it. So I think it's good to just enjoy all of it. It's all God's work.
What about did you go through the Beatles era? What were you doing?
The Beatles, I was there, but they were not my group. You know, I was probably into, as far as the British groups, a group called the Animals, which were like a little bit more of a blues base, is kind of the British group that I kind of latched on to. But I don't think any of us were immune to the Beatles, though, of that age. It's sort of like Elvis. I mean, if you were alive and had a TV.
You know, I used to follow the Fabulous Five every Sunday night, right. And they had some Beatles songs. You know, they about had to.
You about had to. Well, that's just the professional side of it.
Is that the way it is?
That is the way it is, yeah. Yeah, you just have to recognize and acknowledge what's out there and what people want to hear. If you're going to be a professional, you just have to wake up to that fact. I mean, you're serving a public here, so you want to try and give them what the customer wants.
Yeah. So, back to the side man is round in a circle, and the star is out front.
Right.
And how about name the instruments around usually in one of your groups, John?
Well, it would be various. In Nashville, I would be a musical director, so typically I'm going to be on keyboards. I'm going to have a drummer. I'm going to have a bass player, electric guitar player, steel guitar player, probably a fiddle player, and maybe a rhythm guitar player. That would be your group.
Yeah.
And you may or may not have background, you know, extra background singers depending on the budget. So that's usually what our responsibility is keeping them all kind of in the same key.
Wow. And so you do that 7 days a week or six or five, or how much did you work when you were in the kind of in the groove?
In my peak?
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and for about 10 years, is there 365 days a year? I was working 355. So I took less than 10 days off for about 10 years running.
Tell us about her. You said she's so vital in your career.
Well, I wouldn't be here. I mean, I wouldn't have never had a music career without Holly Lou. I think you have to have that. You can't really do this on your own and be any kind of success. You need someone or lots of folks who are really helping you do this thing.
Well, I'm so glad I asked that today. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just been it's been a great run, you know, and I enjoy music.
Tell me about Samuel.
Samuel, my son, yeah, he's got his yard business, and I'm his assistant. We mow a lot of grass and keeps my heart pumping really good. So my doctor had said, your cardiovascular is in pretty good shape. You must be doing a lot. And I said, I do. I mow about 1,000 yards this year.
Did we? Wow. You talked about Willie Nelson. I was so interested in some of the things you just give us an overview of an insider. I'm going to call you the insider. Mm-hmm. And knowing what we don't know is on the other side of the fence, so to speak. Just tell us about the Willie Nelson mystique.
Well, I think number one, when I think of Willie Nelson, I think of Texas. I think Willie really puts in a capsule of how great it can be. He loves Texas, and Texas loves him. And he won't talk too long until he starts talking about Texas. I think speaking out of North Carolina myself, we need to learn that lesson. I think Willie's absolutely right about it. You got to promote your home and your hometown. And Willie's really great about that. And Texas has paid him off. I mean, they feel like he's our guy. Well, when you do his shows, they are it's just so different than most country music type shows because of who his audience is. But he has drawn incredible crowds for this 40 or 50 years. I mean, the guy must be doing something right. But to see a Willie Nelson show is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You owe it to yourself. We worked with him quite a bit, and he was just something to behold. And still going. I think he's up in his upper 80s now and still playing.
Yeah. How about that guitar with the hole in the front? It's worn out.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of guitar that is?
I think that's a Martin.
A Martin?
Yeah. And they got that hole. It earned it. You know, there's been a lot of frets going across that thing. And that's just sort of – I once saw Hank Snow's guitar case. And that guitar case looked like it had been through the war. And I said, that's a man who's been working. And Johnny Cash's boots, one time I saw, those boots looked like this guy has been down the road, and they had. I mean, they put a lot of work.
Really?
Oh, yeah, all those guys did. But it's a great career. You can do it till you're 89 years old, about what Willie is now.
Yeah.
So it's one of the great things about music is you really, as long as you feel up to it, let's go. We can do this.
Do you have some other insider type things you'd like to share with us? Or
I don't know much inside stuff. I mean, I'd say for any of the folks that want to pursue the career,
do that.
I think it is a good career. It's the only career if it's what's right for you. It's what something you want to pray about, because it's going to take a lot of sacrifice from yourself and your family. So you have to be sure that you're
a Christian, John.
Yes, I'm a committed Christian.
You are.
Being a Quaker, I tend not to proselytize too much.
Sure, but that's okay. You know, I think it's important.
Well, yes,
yeah,
it's who you are.
I want people to know the John that I know.
Yeah, I think that it's sort of like having God in your life. It gives you that one up that you need.
Sure it does.
And it'll always be there for you. It always depend on it. Yeah. God's always on time. So I think that's something you can carry with you. You can carry that in your hip pocket.
Yeah.
That's something you got, and I've carried it this whole time.
Tell us about the quality of the choir at Chestnut Ridge again. I want to hear you say there's five or six that
can do it. Well, I would say when it's right, it's right. And it's just one of those things that music is that way. Sometimes it's just like it ought to be. Not always, of course, just like anything else. You gotta find it. I used to see it, know a nature photographer, and he would get these great nature shots. I say, how do you do that? He said, I lie out in this mud for like 3 or 4 hours waiting to get that right shot. And that's sort of the way music is. You got to be willing to give it the time to hear the greatness. But
oh, my goodness, John.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yep.
Well, tell us your future. What will it be? Do you have some ideas, some goals, some things you want to do?
I do. I think having something ahead of you is very important. You know, as we get older, of course, we start looking the other way, start looking back.
Yeah.
But really, I don't plan to do that. I want to keep working as long as I can, as long as I'm able. That's the Lord's blessing right there. Good health is something we can't take for granted, but it certainly makes it easier. But as long as you can get out of bed in the morning and you know, get your work done, I'm all for it. I think that's what we need to do. And I feel responsible, too, from a musical standpoint to do that. It's what I chose. And I think it's where the Lord would have me be.
Yeah. So every day you're seeking and finding ways to serve God and family and friends and worthy causes. And so music is I thank you for going back to playing a little bit at 8 years old, the guitar, and then the Mildred Robertson. And so you've just been significantly involved in it every day of your life, right?
Yes, I think I really have. I mean, music is kind of ingrained, sort of like religion's the same thing, I think. And that's probably part of where we're from. We have, I think, the musical heritage in our state is I think second to none, and I say that to my Texas friends too. I really believe in the music that we have in this state of North Carolina wholeheartedly. I think we got room for improvement, and I hope we'll do that, and I want to certainly help any way I can, because I think it's important. There's some young folks out there just starting off, and you know, they need to be directed into the right way. We can help them get there quicker than we did. So I think it's important that we do our part.
Yeah. So thank you for being such an honorable advocate for music and for helping people and for being a side man and for and telling the great stories and the rich tradition. And you worked hard. That's been an important part of it, hasn't it? Tell about putting a lot into life and what it rewards that way, John.
The biggest lesson my father taught me and my brother Gene, for sure, was hard work. We learned about work and what it means. And I think that's guided me the whole way, because in music or any other profession, folks want to know you can do the job. And you want to take that out of their mind. You want them to be sure this guy, he's going to
do
the job.
When you show up, there's going to be a good show.
Well, it won't be because he didn't try, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I think the hard work part of it is so critical. I don't care how good you play, the work's got to be a part of it.
Yeah. John Reese, a legend for me and a person that I know to be a man of God, a devout family man who's each and every day he's serving Holly and Samuel. And our community is a better place because of the contributions of John Reese and the rich Reese name. So thank you for coming over here today. Would you like to close with just a word?
It's my pleasure, Gary, and I want to tell WIFM you guys are doing a wonderful job. I think you're serving the community well. I am a listener, so I try to listen to your show every chance I get, and I love what I hear. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. We're glad that you're a radio man and you believe in it as we do, and so promise to come back and do this again soon, will you?
One of these days.
We love you, John. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for People Doing Good for Others. Join us again next Saturday morning at 9:05 for People Doing Good for Others, produced by 100.9 WIFM and Yadkin Valley Broadcasting.